At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode except for that one.
Well, I'll tell you what's happening, Ben. What's poppin' is that this is our 300th episode of Popcorn Culture.
I can't believe it. I can't believe that it's been so, like, I think we've almost been doing the pop longer now than we were not having done the pop.
Like, we started the pop in 2019. We've been doing it for 6 years then, roughly, right?
Well, yeah, it'll be, I guess we'll hit 6 years December.
Okay. So meaning that we've been full time on YouTube for 10 years.
Right.
So if we've been doing it for, since we've been doing YouTube for full time, we've been doing the pop longer than we haven't been doing the pop.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what I was trying to say.
You're
but
right.
I felt like there was like such a, like a long stretch where it was always like, you know, like, oh, should we do a podcast? Like,
I know. Yeah. There was a long stretch like that. And then really we started Super Carlin Brothers in 2012. So like we didn't start a podcast until like 7 years later.
This is a good point.
So to that end, it hasn't been longer, but to the full-timeness end.
Right. Yes. We're still making it. And on this very note of being on number 300, we have a fun special guest just to give us a brief cameo and commemorate the occasion. Here she is now.
Hi, it's me. Happy 300. I wore my popcorn socks for the occasion.
Woo!
There we go. That was Isabel wearing her popcorn socks. And she's also the one who edits the pop now here as of late, which is also funny too, because we've had like Ethan, the editor, for so long.
Yeah.
Like for so very long. It's wild. Like even think about like Ethan's role, because he started, like we were launching the podcast. Him and our younger brother already had a podcast of their own. He was local. He was looking for some freelance work. And we were sort of like, yeah, do you want to like edit the like audio portion of the podcast for us? And he was like, that sounds like fun. Like, let's do it. So it's kind of just this like small thing that he was doing for us, like in the beginning. And then it kind of like grew as we added like the video element to the equation, which required like a much bigger like lift as far as like editing is concerned.
Yep.
And then like, you know, he started filling in, you know, on odd jobs to do like Super Carlin Brothers videos for us. And now he's just like, you know, like the video editor for Super Carlin Brothers.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, splits with Isabel, but like craziness, like how far even that has come in that amount of time. Like it was like the ultimate in like getting your foot in the door a little bit and ultimately it expanding into like this great big role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was here. So it's good.
Now it's amazing. So what we're going to be doing today is kind of like an Ask Us Anything.
Yeah.
I know.
What can they ask us?
I mean, literally anything.
Anything.
All of it's on the table.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Tell me your most inappropriate thought ever. Go. Sorry, I thought I got to be included in the Ask Me Anything. Okay, anyway, let's see if I can get our first ever question to kick things off here. Josiah, aka the Realm Shifter, says, my mom asks, what are the best things happening in your lives right now?
What are the best things happening in my life right now? Oh gosh, there's a lot of really good things. I mean, All three of my kids just started going back to school, which is like exciting. Like Nick and Nate are, you know, in kindergarten now. That's really fun. It's fun like seeing them come home and like the different ways they're interacting with like having classrooms and stuff like that. And now being at school, probably the big thing at work, like on the horizon, the very near horizon, is that we're about to be going on tour in the Midwest.
Yep.
Which I am just so excited about. But on the flip end, it also means that our next like 9-10 days in office here are going to be just tremendously busy.
Yes. Yeah. they are. Yeah, it's gonna be basically come in and record 2 to 3 full pieces of content every single day.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Yeah,
so it'll be good. We can do it. It'll be no problem.
We'll
have a great time. I feel like at this point the pop listeners must just be like so accustomed to like, okay, they're in crunch time. Yeah, we know what this is like.
We know. Yeah,
we've been there with you. We've heard you discuss
the stories.
So what's good happening in my life? Well, there is, it's like one of those things, like, if like I haven't wanted to like bring up on the pop, because I feel like there's like that like worry, fear, concern that like it's not like fully all the way there yet, but I feel like we've made it through like most of the hurdles and everything. But we're currently in the process of with our parents buying and together purchasing a little like dock at the lake.
Yeah.
So there's no house. Like there's trees.
There's a place to park a boat.
Woo! Oh my gosh, I can't tell you guys. Like this is like one of those things where in my head as like a youngin growing up, there was like a list of like things that I hoped would someday be a part of my everyday life. And you've heard us wax poetic about like our cabin in, you know, Vermont, which is amazing and still, you know, to this day will for always be one of like my favorite places in the world. With the one caveat being that it's like 11 to 12 hours away from our house.
It's very hard to get to.
It takes, you know, like, and even if you use like a week of your vacation every year, you lose 2 full days on either end just to the travel. So it's like, you know, then you get up there and it's a natural lake versus like our lake here, which is, you know, controlled by like a dam. It's like a man-made lake.
Yep.
And so that means the water level's pretty steady. The lake up there freezes every winter, so you can't have like a permanent dock, because like when they tried it, the ice froze and destroyed it and just like literally swallowed it.
Yeah.
So there's that concern.
Gotta take the dock in and out.
Right.
Yeah. The water might be high. It might be low. It will be cold.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's really one of those things where it's like, I'd like to go like in early to mid August to try to capitalize on the water being 73 degrees instead of 68 degrees, mm-hmm. you know, and it's like 73 degrees is still enough to kind of like suck the wind out of you when you jump into it. So anyway, it's just been one of those things where it's like I've always wanted it. I feel like we found ways, you know, to like, we just got back from a Labor Day weekend.
Yes, we did. At the lake
where we just like rented like a little like a house for the whole family. And it was just amazing. Like, I just love being on the water. I'm so excited at the prospect of like our kids growing up and always having access to the kind of like activities that I would have loved to have had access to as a kid myself.
Yes. I know, like to just be able to go water ski or fish or whatever.
Right.
Whenever.
Right. Like, this is just going to be like part of like their DNA as they get bigger and older and everything. So, that is like, I don't know. It feels like such a massive milestone. And like realistically, if we can just find a place to go to the bathroom and sleep at night, like, you know, like a way to like incorporate that into what is currently trees, then I will be like the happiest little camper in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be great. That's going to be great.
Yeah. So major saga, small check mark. We're getting there.
The first steps have been taken.
Woo. So boom, bam. Hopefully that answers your question, Josiah, AKA the Realm Shifter. Mm. Let's see here.
What do we got next?
Okay. Eileen, Eline says, what are any sports that you would still love to try and learn as an adult? I really feel like Ben would be a great surfer, and I can see Jay doing like road bike races. Love the channel and the podcast. Love Eline. When is the Name of the Wind podcast finally coming?
Oh man.
A little follow up question there in parenthesis, which I will also say, I think that there is more than one person who has asked this particular question.
I know. Like I think we're so afraid that no one would listen.
I know. It feels so niche, but I think that at this point in time we have enacted like a small percentage of our corner of the internet into being like Name of the Wind diehards. And the only thing that I think would be so amazing about doing the Name of the Wind podcast, other than literally all of it, is like the Harry Potter side of things that if you guys know us, you know that's like a huge part of like what we do, is so deeply trodden that I feel like a lot of the secrets and the discoveries and the aha moments have all been like found, you know, like it's had such a massive spotlight. There's the movies, the TV show coming. There was the Fantastic Beasts spinoff. There's Cursed Child on Broadway. Like, you know, it's garnered such a massive audience, all of whom have thrown magnifying glasses against the source material, that sometimes it does feel like a miracle when we still find something new.
Yeah, to talk about.
But I can only imagine how fun it would be to like share the Name of the Wind discussions that you and I have off camera on our off days, like, you know, when we're on vacation, like me and you go for like a walk or something. I feel like we'll inevitably like be like, okay, what do we think about Lon Ray?
Right, yeah. Like, but wait, okay, but hear me out.
Stick with me.
What if?
Right.
And then it'll be like, okay, but then that.
Yeah. The other thing that would be incredibly useful about it is that if anybody is like familiar with like the Game of Thrones dilemma, it's basically that you've got this mega popular series, which also garnered major attention by being turned into the Game of Thrones TV show, which is really where it got like the broad spectrum appeal. And it just sort of like falls off a cliff at the end because there isn't an outline for what things are supposed to happen. What I think would be really interesting about doing this with the Kingkiller Chronicles, with Name of the Wind, whatever you want to call it, is mostly just that like we could have documented conversations about what our perspective was like before we know the final installment.
Right.
But also not having the final installment means that there's so many mysteries that like it's like eventually the third book would likely just answer them. You know, like,
right.
Like we'll get conclusions and it's not just all speculation and there must be explanations for all of it.
Right.
So it would be really cool even if like we got through the entire series and then the third book came out and then we got to like almost go through and do it again and like recall all of our early episodes. And
yeah, be like, now we thought this then.
We thought this then, and we were so close, but we didn't know about this.
Right.
And now that we know about this, this works so much better and then connects with these other 10 dots.
Right.
And if you're unfamiliar with the series, we still haven't convinced you to do it. The big thing is that like words and like wordplay and puns and double meanings are
pronunciation.
Like, yeah, there's so much that goes into it, and it's like, yeah, I mean, it literally to me, I would describe it as like a tapestry that's been beautifully woven together and everything seems to relate perfectly back to everything else, even if it's years and chapters and hundreds of chapters apart from one another. So it just, it ends up being rather beautiful. So anyway, Name of the Wind, we want to do it. Hopefully soon. But then the other question that we had here, since we ended up diving more into the big Name of the Wind portion of it, is, are there any sports you would still like to learn as an adult? Does road racing appeal to you?
I mean, road racing, maybe. I don't have a road bike. Like, I had to borrow one from when I did the triathlon. Although, I would just say, like, even maybe, like, doing other triathlons would still be fun and something I would seek out doing.
I agree with that completely. I think that there could be a lot of fun to be had with triathlons.
Yeah. I think that could be a lot of fun because I've still been swimming since then and stuff. As far as, like, other sports to, like, I don't know, learn how to play. Like, I've gone out and played like pickleball a few times. It's like fun. I enjoy it. I feel like I would be All the people I was playing with were significantly better than me. So like, which isn't to say I felt like I was bad at it or anything. I just sort of, it was like one of those where it's like, you kind of feel like you're being picked last. You're like, okay, yeah, I guess you'll be on my team and I'll probably just take the L for the sake of you learning or whatever.
Sure.
But like, I would also like to win at some point, so we can't be teammates all night or anything. So, you know, kind of like that was sort of like, you know, you're like, yeah, that makes sense. I would want to win. I don't want to be teammates with me either. It's fine. You know? Oh, that's cool. So I feel like that would be more fun if I was going to like learn with other people who were also just learning. But that would be good. Let's see. What other sports? I mean, I feel like I've played a good number of sports just throughout my life.
Yeah.
What would I still need to learn how to play?
It's a good question. I mean, interestingly, you know, they suggested surfing for me. And
I mean, I would love to learn how to surf. That'd be a great. Yeah.
It would be really cool. Like, I think I would like just about everything about doing it.
Yeah.
But I will say that just my most recent trip to the beach, just about like, I don't even know how long ago it's been now, 3-4 weeks. While we were there, a hurricane was like not coming through our area, but coming through, you know, 100, 200 miles off the coast. And the end result was that there were like, you know, 10-foot waves breaking on the shores, which is for this part of the world, really, really big.
Yeah.
And kind of like waves that, you know, you would, I mean, again, like I wouldn't go swimming in, like they seemed like they would just batter you.
Yeah.
But the locals were coming out in fine form. I mean, like there were, you could look out at any point in time and see 30 surfers just in either direction, sort of like taking up like different chunks of real estate on the oceanfront there. And it did look like a blast. And I could totally see where you get out there and it's like, it's all about hoping you just get that, like, it's almost like fishing a little bit. Like you might be catching fish while out fishing, but you're hoping for like the big one,
right?
You know, like, and I felt like that's like what some of these surfers were doing. Like you'd see them catch a wave, you'd see them go through, like, you know, they rode it, they surfed, they were technically start to finish doing the process. But then there's like the, like you'd watch some guys and like the barrel would be like kind of crashing right behind them as they're like ripping through it. And it's like, okay, that was like that person catching like a 22 inch smallmouth bass or whatever. It's like, that's the one you take the picture of. That's the right one you've like, you know, you share with your family. Like, I did it.
When you were watching them go, do they ride the wave to shore, or do you just sort of like ride it? Your goal isn't to make it to shore. You're just like riding off the edge of it.
It seems like you're more riding off the edge of it. Like you're riding parallel to like the edge of the water.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And it seems like you're trying to go like left or right as far as possible. And then maybe at some point in time you do like a cool like little like heel swerve type something or another and like, you know, jet in.
Yeah.
But it seemed like for the most part at some point, like once the like, you know, major air quotes here, like, you know, like ride was over, they would just jump off and just sort of like let the wave crash over them and pop back up over on the other side. Like maybe it's not fun to go all the way into shore and have to like huck it back out.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
100 yards from shore or whatever.
Yeah.
So that could be a really cool one, but I do like the idea of trying to triathlon train with you. I think that would be like a super fun new endeavor to do together. And I think that we'd probably push each other a lot because like you absolutely are going to have like strength with an exponent on it in the swimming department, like over anything I've got. Like that's like, you know, I would have like eons of catching up to do with swimming.
I have still been swimming even this past weekend when we were at the lake. There was like, you know, we were like in a little cove and Beth just went out, or you two went out and just sort of like kayaked next to me, so no boats came and hit me, but I like swam out to the point and back, and that felt really good.
It looked good.
Yeah. Cool, good.
It was like, I was like, man, he is like so like you, I thought you had like a really patient grace about the way you were moving through the water. Like,
oh, thank you.
It was like you weren't hurrying. It seemed like you were taking like methodical, even, consistent strokes. I was like, man, this, like, I was like, he looks so legit.
That's what I feel like. I want, like, when I first started getting back into the water and doing the swims, I feel like it was much harder to go, like, I would go like down and back, and I would get to one end of the pool and just be like, man, I'm like tired. Like I was going really fast for like the 50.
Then
I was like, you know what? You don't have to go fast. Just keep going. Like, as long as you're moving, you'll keep moving. And that, like, that, it, like, I had a shift in brain chemistry one day. I was like, I had a new approach to it, and then it was just like much easier since then. You just kind of just keep going.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like there's a line. I'm sure it comes from other things too, but I heard it in Modern Family where Phil Dunphy is like running up the stairs and he's just like slow, smooth is fast, and it feels like that's exactly what it is.
Yes,
it's like not that I think you're going like slow by any competitive standard, but like it seems like what you're doing is not stopping a lot for breaks. You're not stopping and treading water and like, you know, just trying to like like, you know,
right,
like you're just like dialing in, finding the rhythm,
right?
And I bet the more you do that, the faster that pace ultimately becomes.
I think so. And then if you know want to go do more like specific speed workouts and stuff, that's probably where more speed come from, or doing, you know, dry land exercises and stuff like that, which I'm not doing. So
right. Then the other really big one, that's not really so much a sport that I want to do, but I'm like very interested in trying to like chase that like solo camping sort of thing.
Solo
or even just more like more intentional camping. Like,
yeah,
there's like the, like, I would like to like go out and like, it's funny because we did the Linville Gorge hike a couple of years ago when we were preparing for GoFest or whatever. And that hike in particular is quite challenging. Like it's tough.
Yeah.
You know,
no doubt.
And I would love a world where I could like better identify like routes and challenges and outcomes similar to that.
Right.
You know, like that feels like it could be like a lot of fun. And I also think for like my own mental wellness, I would super benefit from learning how to kind of like be at peace with my mind while I'm just sort of like alone and like removed from all the normal like noise of life.
Right.
Like there's something that like feels like it could be calming. Even like my dog Indy, I like, you know, I feel like me and her, like before Addison, like it was like a, you know, having my dog was like a huge part of like my life. And I'm like, it would be really cool to like bring Indy and like have her like, you know, like if you're like cold camping or something and have her like snuggle up in the tent with you at night or whatever.
Right.
Like, this is the best.
Yay.
It's like, this is what you always want while we're at home. And so often like, you know, like, oh, do we really want like the dog in the bed? Like, you know, that's a mess. And she's got so much fur and all that type of stuff. But if you're camping, it's like, all right, just warmth,
you know?
Yeah. Just warmth. Yeah. And then she gets like work a little bit and she's kind of like a working dog breed anyway. So, you know, all that stuff.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Seems fun. Okay. Next question.
Next question.
Okay. Okay, Veronica asks, would you say it is easier or harder to work together considering you are brothers? How do you manage to keep a good relationship between each other even when the job is stressful?
Oh, man. That is a good question. I mean, I think it's easier, but I've never worked really in tandem with someone who is just my friend either.
I know. Yeah. It's a very good point. Like it's like, because it's primarily what we've done, it's tricky. I think that there's like a very like a hefty layer of like, you're a non-negotiable aspect of my life.
Yeah. I agree with that. Like it's not like, you know, like it feels, I think it makes it a lot easier to feel like we are definitely like in this together, as opposed to like, you know, we're working together right now.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I think that like, it's worked out well that our life's priorities, our families are kind of like the things that sort of like ground both of us in a very significant way.
Right.
Like, you know, even speaking back to like the purchase of like the dock situation or whatever, it's like a huge portion of that aspiration is that it's close to where we live.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of like, as time has gone on, many professionals might be like looking, we have friends, for example, who work for like big companies as like important players in those companies. And that oftentimes means being moved multiple times.
Yeah.
You know, like we've got a buddy who's been moved to like Atlanta, then Pittsburgh from Roanoke. And they were originally from, you know, somewhere else. Like,
right.
And it's just sort of like, you know, you can get bounced around a little bit. That can be a part of like career chasing. But I think it's worked out that I don't think either of us has goals or intentions that are so radically different from the other that like one of us is like trying really hard to, you know, pull the other somewhere.
Right.
And that could be like, what's interesting is like whether or not you can give advice on that, or whether or not that's just like an intangible asset of who we are as people.
Right.
With like the potential catch, if you wanted to call it that, could be like, you know, there could be the benefit sometimes, like, you know, if you've got a teacher or a coach or, you know, a family member, a parent, you know, like whatever, that sort of like sees a skill within you and is sort of like, you need to be like there. Like, I don't think either of us is doing that for the other in any major way. We encourage each other with our endeavors, training,
yeah,
athletics, mm-hmm, you know, interests, hobbies, that kind of thing. But like, where like on some level, like I feel like you could be an actor, you know, like, but
oh, you think I could be an actor?
I do think you could be an actor. Oh, yes.
Thank you. Huh.
But like, also like, I don't know that it would be difficult for me to be the person like really, really, really working hard and advocating for you to go to like LA.
Right. Yeah. You know?
Because it would also come with the demise of my lifestyle.
Right.
Selfishly, you know, but I think that we can encourage each other to, you know, seek major opportunities like Pokemon Worlds, for example, was right, something like that you got to go and do, ticked a major box, you know, not necessarily career essential.
Right.
You know, but like, I wanted you to go, you yeah, wanted to go, like, worked out really well.
It did work out really well. Yeah. Super fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we have a lot of that, like bounce back and forth. So that all works, but I don't know. You and I have always gotten along well.
I know. Yeah. Like, I mean, of course we've always been brothers and stuff like that, but like, you know, in high school and college and stuff, it felt like we hung out just like as friends, like all the time. You know, that's what it felt like a lot of the time. I think because we had like the exact same, like, you know, small, tight knit friend group. And I think, you know, it was probably, I think it was probably unusual to, from like the outside looking in, to be like, you know, oh, this tight knit group of four has like two brothers in it that are like separated by a couple of years and have like people in between them and stuff. And they're not like twins or something.
Right.
You know, like it would have been like maybe more, it would feel more usual for there to be like, for me to have had like my own friend group and for Ben to have had his own friend group. And, you know, we were just, you know, we were brothers at home or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I know. It's very interesting. I mean, it's not like we don't ever have like, you know, more intense conversations. I mean, I think we can also play like therapist for each other sometimes, like both on the pop and then like not on the pop.
Right.
Like, you know, you and I have both cried at work talking to each other.
Yeah.
On numerous occasions.
Sure.
Like, not, we don't ever have shouting matches. I don't think we've ever like yelled at each other.
No, I don't think so. Not really.
But like, you know, we talk a lot. I mean, I don't know. I'm also somebody though that like, whether it's my relationship with Alice at home or, you know, like with you, like, I don't really like the, you know, I mean, to just use like the sweeping, the phrase, I guess, like go to bed angry.
Right.
Like, if I feel like if there's like a disruption, one of the things I guess I've learned about myself as I've gotten older is there is like the underlying intention behind frustrations I can have is usually that I don't feel like we are on center. Like it feels like there's like something like an imbalance in the force or something.
Right.
And it's like, I'm not arguing with you to prove my point. I'm arguing with you because I want things to be right between us.
Right.
And it's like, you know, so the advocation, if you will, it's like, it's just for the common good. Like, that's what I want, you know?
Yeah.
Like, or like, even if like I were to like even outside of like you and Alice, like if ever I am to like critique someone verbally, which I would say for the most part, I don't ever feel strong enough my own assessment of my own words or perception for it to be worth saying.
Right.
But if I do say something, it's like the intention is never harmful. Like, I'm aware that sometimes there's the difference between intent and impact, and sometimes the impact can be harmful. And I try to avoid that at all costs. But the underlying intention, if I were to like ever like speak up and say something to somebody, is like, I would want the feedback, you know? And I understand that maybe not everybody does want the feedback, but the best thing I can possibly do is, in my mind, is to provide it and hope that someone cares to hear it.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so anyway, I know that now I'm speaking in much broader strokes than our specific relationship, but I don't know. I think it does play a role at times where it's like, if we do need to talk, we do need to have a hard conversation. If we have to like work through something or whatever, it's like, it's because I want things to be good.
Yeah.
Not because I want to win.
And I think there's like an under, like an, like, you know, like no one else has been through as many things with me as you have, other than like maybe Beth.
Right.
So it's like, it's a truly irreplaceable relationship, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's the bottom line. And to that end, it's like, if ever there's anyone, you know, if ever there's anything like annoying or bothersome or like, yeah, like an argument or something, which is very rare anyway, there's never a sense of like, I just, you know, I can put up with it because at some point I won't have to deal with this anymore or
yeah,
something,
right.
You know,
yes.
It's like there's just an understood, like we must resolve it because like we're not going anywhere, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. I think that's nail on the head. I think everything I was just trying to say is probably boils down to that exact sentiment, is that it's like, you know, if you start getting frustrated with a friend and you need like time away or whatever, that's okay. Like sometimes that happens, you know, just like give them some space, reboot, start again 6 months from now, see how it goes then, whatever.
Right.
But like, you know, we live near each other, we work together, we spend a lot of time with our greater families together, like
yeah.
You know, it's like it would cause such a huge issue. So it's like, I mean, maybe it's almost like somebody who drives their vehicle a lot, to use like an analogy, it's like you're going to keep up with the maintenance because it's your lifeblood, you know?
Right.
Like, it's like you can't avoid the relationship maintenance with somebody who is so important to your everyday life.
Right.
You know, and it's like, as long as you value your everyday life and the way that the circumstances have unfolded up until this point, you'll work for that.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and we do. Yeah. All right, next question?
Yeah.
All right. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Washington Red Raspberries. You know how eating healthy sometimes feels like a punishment? Like, congrats, here is your charred, hard pass. But that's why I'm personally obsessed with frozen Washington Red Raspberries, because these are not just any raspberries. They are grown by American family farmers in Washington State, picked at peak ripeness and frozen within hours so they keep all that fresh off the field flavor. You know the stuff. There's no added sugar, just pure fruit magic, and they're loaded with fiber, vitamin C, and antioxidants. Oh, and they're only 80 calories a cup. Boom! Mic drop. Or, I mean, my mic is actually attached to like a stand, but you know. I personally toss them in smoothies, swirl them into yogurt, even sprinkle them onto oatmeal. It's just an instant upgrade. They're naturally low in sugar, and like I said, super high in fiber, and honestly, one of the best kept secrets in the freezer aisle. And you can pretty much snag them anywhere. Costco, Kroger, Meijer, and Winco Foods. Just look for Product of the US on the bag. Bonus, keep an eye out for gems like the Kirkland's 3-Berry Blend Muffins at Costco, or Smucker's Peanut Butter and Raspberry Uncrustables. Those are actually Addison's favorite. So support local American farmers and get year-round flavor. Yes, please. Hit up redraz.org. That's redraz.org for recipes, tips, and more raspberry greatness.
The weather may be cooling down, but the deals are heating up during the Red Hot Sale event at Omaha Steaks. Save 50% site-wide on legendary steaks, beefy burgers, cozy comfort meals, and more. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOTSALE when you shop OmahaSteaks.com today. From tailgating essentials to everyday family favorites, the Red Hot Sale event is your chance to save big on everything you need to serve up fabulous fall flavor. USDA certified tender steaks, plump and juicy air-chilled chicken, easy appetizers, and even cozy comfort meals for those busy weeknights. And every bite is backed by their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't wait. Blaze a trail to OmahaSteaks.com to save 50% site-wide on steaks and more during the Red Hot Sale event. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOTSALE at checkout. That's OmahaSteaks.com, code HOTSALE. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
Build a polished wardrobe that shows you stay you wherever you go with Mack Weldon. Use code MACK25 for 25% off your first order of $125 or more at MackWeldon.com.
Okay, this one could be a potentially complicated question to answer.
It's
not even that deep. It's just vague. Okay. So Ellie asks, what is something you wished you knew when you started the podcast?
Something I wish I knew when I started the podcast. Oh, gosh. that COVID was going to happen.
Yeah. That was nuts.
Man, I don't know. Who knows how different the podcast would be if COVID had ever happened? Like, would it be more like way more like pop culture centric? Or was this like the inevitable place we would have ended up? I don't know. I don't know. I felt like I don't feel like in terms of like making popcorn culture, I don't think there's been like a ton of like, man, we really missed, like, should have done this differently, kind of like regrets or anything like that. Like, I felt good about how we started it. I felt good about making it, like, you know, pretty much the whole time.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I do wish we had maybe more successfully completed or fleshed out the like the numbers once upon a time. Yeah. I think because yeah. Like, you know, when we did that, I think I wish I knew, like, when I first started doing, if you don't know what I'm talking about, then don't worry about it. It's not like a huge deal or anything. But like at first, it was literally just like chaos for the sake of it. There was literally no point behind it. And then we kind of kept doing it. And at some point I was like, okay, I'm going to be a little bit more intentional about it and just sort of like make the secret code up as I go. But then I think what the problem was is that I didn't tell anyone else that, like, even sure. You or Ethan or anything.
Yes.
And
yes.
Ethan was editing it and he was just having fun making like extra confusing things about the numbers that I didn't even know he was doing.
Oh, sure. So
like
sure.
There was all these people trying to like break them down and they were using like, oh, they played them backwards. They played them faster. They were this color. And I was like, boy, I really only intended it for just to be these silly, like none of that mattered. And then we tried to turn it into something and then it just didn't work. And then it was just like a big mystery for nothing. And I always feel bad about how flat it fell. So I wish I had like maybe expressed more about, well, cause at first I didn't have a plan. At first there was no plan. It was just supposed to be confusion.
It's the GMA stickers that we used to put up around the high school. It's like you get to singularly know where they're all coming from.
Yeah.
It's not harming anyone directly, and all of a sudden people in class are like, yeah, what's up with these like weird little ducks?
Exactly everywhere? Exactly.
And you get to know and they don't get to know, and it's sort of like that's the thrill of the occasion,
of the hunt.
And yeah, so I think there's a layer to that, and then we were getting like really clever with it. We had like a whole concept, but it's like sometimes I wonder about stuff like this, like if you're an author of a book series, for example, and there is massive speculation about, like, you know, sub theories or whatever, like sometimes I think it can be the case. Like we just did a Jay versus Ben quiz where we were quizzed on certain particulars about our own Harry Potter theories. And we were like blown away a couple of times at how much not only we couldn't remember the answer to our own concept, but then also like how clever what we came up with years or months ago actually was, which was its own kind of like fun, laughable, like cycle of emotions.
Where
you're like, of course it was Moaning Myrtle because it's an opportunistic kill in the diary. And like, you know, you're like, oh my God, of course. Like, you know,
yeah.
So you're like, you're frustrated with yourself for not knowing in the present, but you're blown away by your past self for being clever. And like, it all comes together. So like, I'm wondering, you know, like if you go to a book signing or if you're going to go and do like a read the first chapter and people are going to ask you questions, or you're doing an Ask Me Anything on Reddit, or, you know, like any of the things that you see authors do, it's like you want to believe at all times that they've got the whole canon, the whole universe just floating in their brain, like this thing that you could pull particulars from. And like, because what better source than the person who wrote the words on the page in the first place? But then, you know, like if I'm me and I've read Name of the Wind 25 times, like if I sit down with Patrick Rothfuss, there's a chance he's like, wait, I said what? Like, you know, he might not know.
Right.
Like the answer to it. But all I can think is that like, as people who are on a journey that has a lot of like roadmap left in front of us, is that like when we try things like that, it's like, like right now we can be frustrated with the fact that we didn't better execute a scenario, but it doesn't mean that there's not like that it wasn't like the training wheels version of what is a much better planned outcome later.
Right.
Like, you know, it's like you are throwing spaghetti at the wall. You are trying to figure out what sticks and what works and like the trials and tribulations of whatever. Like we were talking similarly because like the numbers were eventually something that were going to be a part of a challenge coin that we created as Patreon quarterly merch. And it was all going to like sync together and be this like beautiful outcome. And like sometimes the, you know, there's like the best laid plans or whatever. Like it's like, you know, like they don't always work out the way that you hope that they do. And another example of that with a different piece of quarterly merch was when we did our decks of cards once upon a time.
Yeah.
We were like a really cool thing. Cause like, you know, if you want like the deck of cards, then we'll do like the they're all individually designed. They're all going to have like cool artwork, you know, like blah, blah, blah. Like we're having them made by like a fun manufacturer. Like everything's awesome. And then we were like, also at this tier, if you're signed up at this tier, we'll just send you a sheet of uncut cards because those, it's basically like selling like a poster.
Yeah.
You know? And like in a way it feels like the deck of cards is like the functional, the utility, like you can use it. Exactly.
Right. But like, yeah, having an uncut sheet of cards and no one ever sees an uncut sheet of cards.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And so it's like, there's something like real, like we have one framed here in the office. Cause we were like, this is the coolest thing ever. What we didn't account for was how difficult they were going to be to ship.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, the ultimate thing there is like, oh, I have this amazing idea. And then you do it and you're like, oh, oh my gosh, the shipping alone. Like, you know,
the shipping was a nightmare.
It was a total nightmare. Yeah. Like not only the cost, but the process of doing it. Like I remember, I had to, like, we talk sometimes about how we're like in the third floor walk up. I had all the poster tubes that we were going to ship them to delivered to my house. And like in my head, I couldn't imagine what these poster tubes were going to look like. So I showed up and there's like three pallets taking up like my whole front yard.
Huge.
That are stacked like double tall with these tubes because it turns out like hundreds of these tubes just takes up physically way more real estate than I ever could have imagined.
Oh, and then didn't we have to assemble the tubes too? Like the tops and bottoms weren't on them?
Yeah, the tops and bottoms weren't on them.
Yeah. And they were not easy to assemble. I think everyone's hands were like totally beat up trying to like shove the tops and bottoms onto each other. And
so, yeah, so it's like you learn though. You learn like what comes of that and like what it means. And like, you know, it's like once you've made the commitment to send them, of course you're going to honor the commitment to send them. Like that's the whole thing. You know, like there's never like a chance where we're like, you know what, guys, we're not going to do this. You do it. But I hope that these are the kinds of things where it's just like, there's nobody out here who can explain that to you. That's not in a textbook. Like, you know, like it's a lesson you have to learn the hard way. And then you do, and then you're better for it. And like somewhere down the line, if we do something cool again, we'll be better prepared for the challenges associated.
Exactly.
So all I can hope, long story long, is that that's what happens. And I don't know. I think with the pop, going back to the beginning, like I think about early Super Carlin Brothers and how like I can't watch those videos. Like they make me deeply uncomfortable. It feels like a version of myself that I'm like, I don't know who that person was. I don't know what they were thinking about. I don't understand them. Like it makes me understand and relate to people who have like who become like famous. I think like I'm going to use a very like topical thing. Travis Kelce when he started dating Taylor Swift, I think that there was like a whole thing where people deep dived his Twitter to see if he had ever said like negative stuff. And I think he's got like one tweet about like a squirrel or something, and it's like he spelt squirrel wrong, and he's like, I didn't know squirrels would eat something, you know, like it just seems like a dumb thing to have said.
Right.
And, you know, I think he's got a good sense of humor and rolls with it or whatever. But sometimes celebrities have said dumb things in the past that are impactful and negative and bad, and they're left to deal with the consequences. And I sometimes I'm like, you know, I see that past version of myself and I'm like, I don't know who that guy was. He had no scope of the world. He didn't know what he was talking about.
Right.
You know, I was just trying to complete the challenge. I was just trying to do it. I didn't know anybody would ever even watch it. Like,
right.
You know, it's like, ah. Like,
I had to put something up that day.
It's like, don't ever hold me to 22, 23-year-old Ben, because that guy was a moron.
Right,
like,
yeah.
You know, like, it's, you know, I don't know. So that's frustrating. But, like, at least to the best of my knowledge, and maybe if I went back and listened to 2019 Ben, when I was, how old would I have been then? 30. I would have been like, okay, better. Like, you know, certainly things to learn. He didn't have Addy yet. Wasn't married yet. Like, major life lessons.
That's wild. Still, that when we started this, you were not married yet.
I wasn't married yet.
Oh, but feels only impossible.
But only by like a month.
Oh, like a month. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's true. True.
So it was very near, but yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's interesting. So, but I think things on the flip side of this question is, what do you wish you had known when you started? Is what have I learned from doing it? Is like the power of talking about things.
Yeah.
Like both between you and I, experiences in real life therapy, mental health, the classic, I bring this up all the time, but like the classic, like if you're in class, the teacher will often say like, if you have a question, ask it. Chances are somebody's wondering the same thing. Can't tell you the number of times we've talked about something and then gotten a whole slew of emails from people who were like, thank you for talking about this. Like, I didn't know anyone else felt that way. I feel that way. Like, it was so good to hear it and it made me feel reaffirmed in my beliefs. And you're just like that is it fills in a strange thing where for so long making content on the internet, I was always like, I don't feel like I'm necessarily like saving the world one Harry Potter theory at a time. You know, and while there could be some truth to that, I've also, you know, like with the pop, when you get those messages, it does feel like speaking about things. It does feel like speaking about your challenges. It's like that helps people. Like, don't hesitate from that. You know,
yeah,
the challenges you're facing in life, like whether or not they're your weaknesses, it's like turn your weaknesses into a shared experience and then allow it to become a strength, not just for you by being willing and brave enough to share it, but also for the person who got to hear it.
Yeah, that's very well said. It's like, I feel like you've said a few times recently, like never let a compliment go unspoken or something.
Yeah, like never let a nice thing go unsaid. Because,
yeah, right.
Like, you know,
like what does it hurt? does it hurt?
Dude, I just had an instance, like I think like last Friday when we were leaving the office, and I passed somebody on the street and I was like, wow, she looks cool. And I like went through this whole thing in my head where I was like, don't say that. Do say that. Don't say that. Like, it's going to come across as weird. And at the last second, I think the one shoulder angel won out. And I was just like, dude, you look really cool. And she was like, thank you. You look cool too. And I was like, thank you. And we both walked away. And I was like, I think I'm always afraid that it's going to sound creepy or weird.
Right.
Or like, I don't know, like people don't want to be perceived by strangers, like, you know, but I think that in that case, it hopefully sent a positive wave in that person's direction. And that's,
hopefully,
you know, and like
it probably did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I think so.
Anyway, but that's like where I try to, like, you know, it's like if you know that all you're trying to do is just like, it, or if you think it, it's like they may benefit from hearing it. So just say it. It's, if it's not mean, you know,
right.
Say the good thing.
Right. I mean, like worst case scenario is you compliment somebody and they're just sort of like, weird.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. They're mildly taken aback.
Yeah. They're mildly taken aback. Like, and that probably says more about them than you.
Right. Right. It's true. So anyway, long story, long, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, sure.
There we go. All right. Next question.
Yeah.
Okay. This is another pop related question, but I think it's an interesting the way that, Ahmad, who asked this question, says, how much longer do you think you'll do the pop? What would make you stop doing it?
Oh man. I have no plans of stopping doing the pop.
Yeah. Not on the horizon at all.
Not on the horizon at all. I don't know what on earth would make me stop doing it. I'm trying to think like what we recently just announced that like we were like our box breaker show where we open Pokemon cards, that we were going to be sunsetting that show and returning to like some other gaming shows like our Nuzlocke and our like Sims series.
Yes.
And stuff. And like the part of the reason that we're doing that is just because that show has been going on for like 16 season cycles of itself.
Yeah, I want to say it's somewhere in the proximity of 3 years of of content.
Yeah, and it's like in that time it has been so much fun. We've had so many people playing the game for so long. And it's been great getting to know them and doing the live streams and seeing that show go through like the different versions of itself. But kind of like what's just sort of happening is that like because Pokemon is becoming like this, or Pokemon cards right now are like they kind of came back during COVID and got really popular and expensive. And then there went like this tiny lull, but now it feels like it is back in full force and like just kind of not going anywhere.
Yeah, it seems like it's in a very, very like strong position based on like it's almost like if there's 120 people who want to play, they're only making 100 packs,
right?
You know, so everything has become incredibly scarce.
Yeah, but so yeah, what that does to the making of the show is that it makes it extremely expensive to make, kind of like we were talking before. It's like it suddenly the show was basically just, you know, like it's the cost of the Pokemon cards basically made the show, you know, no longer make
like
any profit. Like it was costing as much to make the show as the show was making, which is, you know, like the point of the show is of course to like interact with the community and have fun and stuff like that, but it does take up a lot of our time to do it, right? And we do have a lot of other responsibilities as well, so like we just, you know, it just wasn't like financially viable anymore. But this show is very, you know, we have such wonderful patrons over on Popcorn Culture, and the show takes like, you know, an hour and change per week to make, and it's super fun to make.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is sort of like a sort of a fun thing is like sometimes Beth will be like talking in the car or something. She'll be like, all right, answer it like you were talking about it on the pop. And I'll be like, well, what on earth different? How different could it possibly be?
Yeah, right. I know.
But then I will start answering it as if I was talking to you here on the show. And I'm like, oh my gosh, suddenly it is so different. I talk it like a different way. I'm like, usually in real life, like I consider one of my weaknesses to be like small talk or just like having regular drawn out conversations with people,
right,
in general. And yet I come on this show for an hour a week and have a conversation with you at complete random,
right,
sometimes.
Yes.
And we just like are able to talk forever, and it's like the difference between just like sort of like a lot of times when I'm talking to people, I feel like I'm simply talking with them because we're both there right then, and it's like we should be talking because otherwise we'd both just be standing here, you know. Right.
Yeah. It's a good point. It's a very good point.
But it's like being able to have like a much more intentional conversation. And sometimes when I'm walking up to people, I would be like literally just try and talk to them like you're on the show. And like it will work, you know?
Well, it's really crazy for me as well. I think because I've always enjoyed talking to people, but like sometimes I think that the nature of having like the camera, the lights, the microphones, like all the various pieces, like it's almost something I feel like I would just like encourage more people to do, because I feel like because, you know, there's this layer of somebody else listening in, I think it grants a lot of like there's sort of like an unspoken rule that like if the other person is talking about something that's clearly important to them, it's like you're not trying to say 50% of the words. You know, like it's not like you need to say 50% of the words and I need to say 50% of the words. Like, I think that there are weeks like when we talked about Pokemon Worlds where, you know, like it was a more like Jay heavy episode. And I know that there are days where I'm going deep diving into my weird heady topics and it's a very like Ben heavy episode or whatever. But like the idea is that you know, on some level, and it's not like this is fully informing the conversation, it's just like a gentle force that exists in the room with you, is that there is supposed to be a layer of like entertainment, which means you need to let people finish their thoughts. You need to let them like speak through what they're thinking. And oftentimes what I notice when I'm out like in the real world, if I'm just like, you know, at a brewery with a bunch of friends or whatever, or, you know, sitting on the porch drinking drinks or whatever, like it can very often be the case that like somebody will say something that sparks something in somebody else's mind, and they'll just sort of like jump in and like, you know, grab the conversation, and it will bop around a lot more. And everyone in the conversation is usually mildly guilty of it, but the conversations probably don't go past the surface level as quickly. And so like, to me, it almost feels like this is a great way. Like if you and your partner or whatever, even if you don't publish it, like sit down and record a podcast episode. Like, you know, you can do it on your voice memo thing on your phone. Like it doesn't have to, like, you don't need like special microphones or anything, but like sitting down with the intention of having the conversation and going through it, I think permits you to really explore your ideas in a way that like helps you grow as an individual, which is probably something that, I don't know, I'm sure I put way too much emphasis on is this, like, you always need to be, not always need to be growing, but I like to grow as a person. I like to, I mean, there's a kind of gratification I even get. Like I was talking about, like, you know, early Super Carlin Brothers Ben, for example. Like I'm like, I don't know who that version of me was. And it's like, you know, while it may be self-deprecating, there's also like a great sense of pride I have over how much I've grown since I was that person, you know?
Right.
Like, it's like, I, like part of me is able to look at that and like, I came a long way from them, you know? And, so I think being able to take the time, knowing the other person's not going to like just constantly interrupt or interject or you know, like whatever, and give you the time and the space to like speak through your thoughts, like that I think is just, it's good for an individual, you know, like for anybody, you know. It's just like just try it.
I mean it is really good, because I think like a lot of times I will just be sitting in the car, and sometimes I'll just talk to myself out loud. But this is such a way for me to kind of like put a lot of those thoughts like to somebody else sometimes.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. And just sort of get like some, like feedback on what your thoughts are or whatever. And that can be really, really helpful in some ways. So yeah, overall, like I don't have any plans to stopping the show. The only thing that would make me stop doing the show is if we got like for some reason hired to go do some all consuming project somewhere else.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. That would certainly do it. Well, and I guess like the other one, Well, I suppose what's interesting about the pop is that it's so deeply personal at this point in time. Like we talk about our lives a lot.
Yeah.
So this is the one that I find to be the hardest if I'm having a difficult mental health day. And I think it's because like a lot of times if I'm talking about something that I'm like deeply versed on, like Harry Potter, it's like I remember doing this when I was like in high school. Like there was a day like I was at Petland, you know, and I was working in the fish department and reptiles and stuff and doing all those types of things. And I'd gone through a breakup the night before and I was just in a terrible mood and it was just really sad. And it was just like, you know, but somebody would walk around the corner and ask me about tiger barbs and I'd be like, yeah, absolutely. So these are going to be like semi-aggressive. You know, you can probably put them with these things, but you know, you probably don't want to put them with angelfish because they're going to like nip the fins. You know, like it's like you've approached me, you've allowed me to go and use like, well, you know, like information I know well.
Yeah.
And because I know the information well, it allows me to like step into a zone where I can like be helpful because I know how to. It's like a skill and not my personality.
Right.
If that makes sense. I mean, some of it's my personality just because I like fish. But the other portion of it is like I can answer these questions and I have anecdotes and I have jokes and I have stories and I can, you know, answer all your questions and I can get really focused in on that and not focus on the fact that I got, you know, I went through a breakup last night. Those are the kinds of things where it's like, if I step in here and I have something that's like big and pressing on my mind, it's like, it's what I want to be talking about. It's what I want to be working on. It's what I want to like solve. And so trying to then like look past the big bright object in my mind to other, you know, funny, relatable topics or, you know, quandaries or, you know, wonderings about the world, that becomes a big challenge.
Right.
So, you know, I think I think that has also forced me, because I love doing this, to do so much mental health work, because that's like, that is like my version of going to the gym to prepare for this activity. Like, I mean, I want my wellness. I want to be a good husband and dad and brother and son and, you know, all the things that I also, the other hats I wear in life. But it's like, you know, on some level, this, it's like, you know, this is almost like the canary in the mine, so to speak. It's like, if the pop is difficult for me, then it's not because I don't like doing the pop. It's because I'm struggling with something.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Did I say canary in the gold mine?
No.
Coal mine.
Yeah.
Well. Okay. I said that.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the gold mine.
In the gold mine. You know, how you keep canaries.
Canaries in your gold mines. Yeah.
Naturally. Yeah.
Probably, you know, probably the same. I don't know. There's got to be the same sort of general hazardous materials down gold mines as coal mines.
Absolutely.
Probably.
Yeah, probably. Who knows?
Who knows?
Maybe we should learn about more about gold mines.
Yeah.
All right. Next question.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a fun one. All right, this comes from Lauren G. What is your dream Walt Disney World ride or attraction, or your dream Wizarding World ride or attraction?
Oh, man. Okay, dream Walt Disney World ride or attraction, hands down, no question, is the roller coaster from The Emperor's New Groove.
Pull the lever, Kronk!
Exactly. Pull the lever.
Wrong lever!
I don't know why it's not there. It is such a beloved movie. There is a built-in roller coaster to the ride. There's a built-in like fake out thing in the ride. Like, there's so many theme parks where they have now like Hagrid's the Hagrid ride at Universal. Why can't I think of the name? Motorbike Spin or Adventure or
I know it's
Motorbike. You know the one.
That's the one. You know the one.
You get to the part and you're back and through, and then the floor drops out and you fall. Sorry, spoilers or whatever. Or like Verboten at Busch Gardens. It's like same thing. Floor box out. There's such a built in like pull the wrong lever gimmick that is part of roller coasters these days.
Yes, absolutely. You know? And it does feel like, I feel like there has been a small handful of like Disney properties from like the like late 90s during like the era where like the Renaissance had kind of like ended, and like now there's kind of like these movies that just sort of like exist like sort of in no man's land, mm-hmm. that feel like they've kind of got like a little extra love here in late.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you know, I mean, I think we've seen it a little bit with like the Goofy movie. Like Lilo and Stitch is in that zip code.
Yeah.
You know,
of all those movies, you know which one they decided to make an attraction out of was the movie Dinosaur, which has got to be the worst Disney movie ever made.
Yeah.
They made an attraction about it, and guess what? Pfft, it's out. It's gone. I think they're making an Encanto ride there.
Okay, well, that would be amazing.
Super excited. I think it's Antonio's Room.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, I'm all about it.
Yeah. Totally good. But yeah, there was a string of movies there in the post-Renaissance era after like Tarzan, that included The Emperor's New Groove. And there was the straight to DVD or VHS at the time, Goofy movie. There should be a like power line experience, like 3D, you know, show.
Oh yeah.
That would be so cool.
Like,
where is the power line experience at Disney World where you can go to the Powerline concert and do the perfect cast or whatever?
I mean, all of it. Yeah. Like you could just turn the Goofy movie so easily into like a really fun stage performance where it's essentially like the songs. Cause they do that like with Frozen. I don't even know what it's called. Frozen Sing Along or something, where like they go out and they have like actors up on stage who are doing little aspects of it, and then I want to say Anna and Elsa come out at the end, or maybe like Anna's out there trying to find Elsa. Anyway, it doesn't matter, but they keep going through the story, and like, you know, it's funny and there's a little bit of improv involved, and it's like, you know, it's a great time. But like, yeah, in the Goofy movie, if you haven't seen it, there's this like amazing scene at the beginning where Max is going out and impersonating Powerline, like hooking himself up to like, you know, essentially like a rope system, a pulley system that's going to like swing him all around the audience. Like, it would be so fun to have somebody out there as Max doing the performance.
Doing it.
Yeah. Like, oh my God, this is so cool.
Be great.
So yeah, I would love that.
Give us that.
For the Wizarding World, one of the things I think would be really cool would be to take Quidditch and do almost like a Tron light cycle style.
Oh, like you're riding the brooms?
You're riding the broom.
Yeah.
If you haven't ridden the Tron light cycle, basically like you get onto this thing that's like a motorcycle. And like what I love about it is that there's always been like a piece of me that like wanted to ride a motorcycle, but like I think there's probably enough danger associated with them, you know, too many statistics going wrong or whatever, that is kind of like I can resist that particular thing, but getting to sit on the light cycle, you get to go from 0 to 60 in 3 seconds or whatever. And I mean, I have no idea what it's like to ride the real motorcycle, but it feels like a really close version of it.
Yeah.
You know, cause you're bent over, you're kind of like leaned, you're like in the stance, like you would be if you were like on a real bike. So, you know, I don't know how comfortable it would be to put people on broomsticks.
I mean, you would do the same thing. I think you basically strap them in similar to the Tron thing. It, you know, they would like, you know, come down over your legs. It'd be like you were riding a bike or whatever, except maybe instead of handlebars, you'd have the broomstick.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So you're like, you know, you're completely secure, but like, as far as your vantage point looking forward, you're holding on to like a broomstick.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like that would be super, super fun.
Oh man.
You know, like to like hear all the like the Lee Jordan commentary.
Oh yeah, Gryffindor scores or whatever. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Be great.
Yes, I think it would be super fun because then you could have, I mean, it could be like swift, it could be smooth, it could be fast. Like, you know, there's so much you could do with it.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be a lot of fun. And I felt like I like the new Ministry ride at Epic Universe, but it relies really heavily, in my opinion, on like the big screens.
Yeah.
And it's like, while that's cool, it's like it doesn't, it's not like the experience, it's not the, like the kind of ride that necessarily like totally like ticks my box, so yeah, to speak.
I mean, there are 4 big Harry Potter rides now at Universe. Well, I guess there's technically 5, I guess, right? You've got the motorbike, Hogwarts, you've got like the Hogwarts Express, sort of. It's not really, I mean, it's an experience, you know.
Right, yeah, Escape from Gringotts.
Yeah, Escape from Gringotts. And then you've got the Ministry of Magic and Escape from Gringotts. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So those are like the 5. And then there's like the Circus Arcana thing. So there's, well, that's more of a show. But of them, only one is like a roller coaster, which is like Hagrid's.
Yes.
Which is like fun. And I mean, that one is cool too. You're actually in like the motorbike thing. But yeah, the fact that there's not a broomstick ride, oh, I just feel like that needs to be in there.
Total missed opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Or you could, you know what else you could do? You could do like inside the Ford Anglia.
Oh, yeah. That could be interesting.
Right?
That could be very interesting.
That could be crazy.
Yep. And that's actually one, hilariously, that I feel like could benefit from some of the screen work and stuff like that.
Right.
You know, but like that, I feel like the Escape from Gringotts uses a lot of the screen work type stuff. I'm trying to remember if I think Hogwarts is using,
yeah,
it.
You're on those big like metal arms that sort of like warp you around and
like
stuff.
Simulated gravity. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not, it's still fun. It's really cool. But like, I want, for me, when I'm at theme parks, I want like fast moving roller coasters.
For sure. For sure.
That's my jam.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So I think those would both be really fun. So Emperor's New Groove, Goofy Movie, and Quidditch.
There you go. There you go. There's probably so many more for Disney too. Like, I don't even know. Okay, well, I can think about it all day, but
I know. Yeah, yeah. No, it's all good. Yeah. Do we have a good Big Hero 6?
Oh, you could be like riding Baymax or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, like Flight of Passage, but Big Hero 6.
Ooh.
And you're like on back of Baymax.
You're on the back of Baymax and you get to like go over like San Francisco.
Yeah. Dude, that would be so cool. I would love that. There needs to be more Big Hero 6 representation.
Absolutely.
They also need to replace, I mean, people are going to revolt about this, but Figment, I'm sorry, like, you know, find a new spot and replace that whole ride with this, just like an Inside Out ride. That's just like still about imagination, but it's Bing Bong instead of Figment. And I'm sorry, it's done. It's over. Get out. You're done. You've had your moment. It's cool.
My mother-in-law would riot.
Gone.
Yeah.
Out.
Yeah. She loves Figment.
Out.
I think it's a much more adorable experience than I had assumed. I hadn't gone on it until I had Addy. And it is sort of like, okay, this is neat.
Mm-hmm.
This is something. Mm-hmm. But I do also understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I gotcha wholeheartedly. Cars. Are they turning?
There's going to be a Cars Land at Magic Kingdom now.
Okay.
Right?
Okay,
yeah.
I mean, Test Track, but like Lightning McQueen would just be fun.
Test Track, but Lightning McQueen. That'd be cool. Because they're redoing Test Track now, right? It's not going to be Chevy anymore.
Correct. But
right. I don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah. Okay, that's all right. All right. Well, so Jay, that's kind of going to bring us to the end here. What are your closing thoughts? Like, where do you think we'll be when we hit like episode 400?
Where do I think we're going to be when we hit episode 400? That's going to be like what, roughly 2 years from now?
2 years from now.
Oh
yeah,
my gosh. I don't know.
It's a ways out there.
It is a ways out there. I don't know where we're going to be. Do you think we'll still be like going on like tour and stuff with Through the Gryffindor?
I have no idea. Like nothing is giving me like more like, you know, we asked the question, like, what are you guys going to do like when the pop is over or whatever? Or like, would you ever get to the end of the pop? And like the thing with Gryffindor is that where we sit right now, like we just started Order of the Phoenix and there are exactly 104 chapters left, which at our cadence of one episode per week means we have exactly 2 years left. Two years and a little bit of change for some Dumbledore's big plan mixed into in there and all that type of
yeah.
stuff. But still, like it means that, like, you know, in 2027, around this time, we're gonna be like wrapping
right
the whole experience. And so it's like I don't know like what happens then. Do you start back at the beginning?
Do you
take like a fresh stab at it? Do you like go and re-listen to the old episode and try to make like new commentary based on what we said then right. versus what we think now? Like
the movies, or I guess the TV show will be coming out then.
Right. Yeah. So yeah. There's a lot going on. But so that's a great question. And you know, it'll be fascinating to imagine because around Popcorn Culture episode 400 will be around the same time that Gryffindor is coming to a close, at least in the current format, without right. any other modifications being made or anything. So like, I don't know. It's crazy. Like I at the beginning of every year, I do the exact same thing where I'm like, what will we do this year that like we can't even think about?
Oh, I know.
Right now.
That's the thing, is that like this year, 2025, has been so crazy busy and filled with like trips that we weren't expecting, trips that we were expecting, but like the, you know, the trip to Japan, the trip to Epic Universe, the trip to Pokemon Worlds, like those are just three trips that just like were out of nowhere, it kind of felt like.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then in addition to that, we've done our like annual Mecca to Disney World.
Yeah, we went to Disney World. We're going to have been on tour twice this year. We went to New York with like with the wives earlier this year. I'm still going back to New York later this year for Beth to run the New York City Marathon.
Yeah.
So there's still a lot to go.
How many tattoos do you think I'll have in 2 years?
I think you will have two right now. I think you'll have five.
Five seems like a really good number.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. There you go. Okay. So I don't know. I don't know. Life is crazy, but it's been really cool. It's been really fun. I think I'm very proud of, you know, how far that this is all, like where it's all come, you know, from and to and all those types of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been good. Anyway, guys, we talked a little bit about Patreon in today's episode and back when we did like our deck of cards and when we did our challenge coin and a variety of different things. If you're coming to see us on tour, bring that challenge coin, you know, you never know. But we also are doing, oh my God, my brain just went blank. What is our quarterly merch?
Oh, the calendar.
The calendar.
Yeah.
Let me back up. And of course, this quarter, we're doing our calendar, which I think is going to be so much fun. So we're going to have a different photo shoot for every single month. We'll have like lots of cool, like Super Carlin Brothers, Popcorn Culture, East Devon Pavia Day, like, you know, little details baked into the calendar that sort of like celebrate all of like the little occasions, the big occasions, the staff birthdays, you know, all the stuff that matters. So if you'd like to check that out, you can sign up at patreon.com/popcornculture. That support goes such a long way. It's like the main way that this show, you know, continues and does what it does for 300 episodes so far. So we appreciate all of our patrons so much for their ongoing support of the show and everything that you guys do. If you have any feedback for the show, you can send on over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. That is an email I do check and I do read your emails, I promise you guys. But otherwise, until next time.
Pop, pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax tip and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.